survivors. I didn't give a damn about my reputation. Never said my
That's the Tyrants playing the song Attitude. The Green Bay punk rock band helped launch a thriving punk music scene in northeastern Wisconsin.
Members of the Tyrants and other punk bands are featured in a new documentary called Green Blah. It follows the story of punk rock in Green Bay from the late 70s through the 80s.
Chris Preddy was there as a member of the band A Bunch of Morons and as a creator and director of Green Blah. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Before we get into the documentary, this is a personal story for you. You were part of this scene. You were in a band, A Bunch of Morons. What is it as a young guy in Green Bay that drew you into the punk rock scene?
It came to me from a couple of different sources. I had a really good friend in grade school whose mom worked at WAPL Radio, and she would bring home promo records, and my buddy Chris and I would, you know, sit in the bedroom and just flip through these records and play whatever looked, you know, interesting. And I don't know, we just stumbled across the Ramones, we stumbled across the Clash and Black Flag, and it just sort of drew me in. There's a lot of there's kind of like an outsider aspect mm-hmm. to this, and I wasn't really a sports guy. You know, I was kind of I like to read and I like art. I'm not good at art, but I just appreciated that sort of thing, and it was just different and unique, especially, you know, growing up in Green Bay, which is very much Rust Belt, paper mills, factory workers, Green Bay Packers, you know, so it was like a breath of fresh air, I guess.
Well, and that's something that really struck me. I mean, this is partly a documentary about the music, but it's also about people finding their people. How important was that?
Very important. It does come out in the film. There's a couple interviews I can think of where people really felt like they just found others that were willing to accept them. And, you know, right, they were sort of misfits, didn't quite fit in, and just found this like collective spirit. And, you know, you met people from just all over, you know, different parts of the city, even from smaller communities outside of Green Bay. That was the attraction. And it just really formed like a familial type bond. Some of these friends that I met at the first punk show that I went to back in June of 1983, and I'm friends with today.
A point I want to hammer home here for younger listeners is there wasn't an internet when you guys were pulling this scene together, right? Punk music was breaking
right
around the world, and it kind of trickled in weird, random ways. Like you said, somebody's mm-hmm. mom worked at a radio station and had these demos and whatever. How did people absorb this and pull it all together in this pre-internet age?
An important factor for Green Bay was we had a college radio station. It was WGBW, and it was out of the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. And there were DJs that, you know, you could play pretty much whatever to your heart's content. I mean, you brought in your own records or, you know, they had promos there and so forth. But that was one source of getting information. I would go down to, there was a place called Boss's. It was Boss's bookstore. And they had like a slew of different magazines and stuff from all over. So like Cream Magazine was a big one. You know, you could page through there and there was punk rock in there. So, you know, he found it where he could. Fanzines were important. There was a particular one in Green Bay called Sick Teen. A friend of ours, Norb Rozek, who I went to high school with, and that's where I first encountered it, was in geometry class. Norb was in a band with this guy, Perry. Perry and I sat in geometry alphabetically. And one day he just noticed that I was into a different kind of music, and he handed me this copy of Sick Teen. And I was just like astonished. I had no idea what to make of it. I'm like, wow, another kid at this high school puts this together.
I want to check out one of the bands from kind of the first wave, as you describe it, of the Green Bay punk scene. And we'll give a listen here. This is a band called The Miners, and this song is Waves Have Hit. So, Chris, the Miners were one of a couple early bands that set the stage, literally, in some ways, for the punk scene in Green Bay. Talk a little bit about the Miners.
they were like the first wave of Green Bay punk rock, and they did shows largely at a place called Bernie's Game Room, which was on the west side across from West High School. And then they played like Night Moves. It was like a teen disco. They played Brown County Fair. But anyway, they were very influenced by, you know, that early like Clash, Sex Pistols, The Damned, that UK sort of thing, Ramones from the US, that sort of stuff. And they were sort of the precursor to the scene that I grew up in, which was kind of later in the 80s. So they were around like 79, 80, 81. And they were from like the west side of Green Bay. They put out a 45, which had two songs on it, which one we just played. And then the other band, the Tyrants, also put out a 45 with two songs. They recorded those records down in Ripon, Wisconsin. And that was, those were really the first two punk records to come out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. So very much trailblazing.
We're talking about a new documentary called Green Blah about Green Bay's early punk scene. Chris Preddy is a co-creator and director of the film. Now, there were some downsides, in large part the reaction the punks in the scene got. Some of the film focuses on the response in Green Bay to people dressing differently, listening to different music. I want to give a listen to one of the scene members describing their experience.
I know why I left. Getting my ass kicked was just, I was done. You know, I got home, cut my rat tail off. This is not worth it. It just kind of got out of that scene. But I, at this point in my life, I look back and it really hurts because I don't know why I walked away from those friends, you know?
Can you talk some about that negative response from, you know, people in the community, in your age group in particular?
Yeah, that was very real. It's so much different these days because I've made comments amongst people I know today where, you know, you might see somebody with pink hair or green hair and it's like pretty commonplace. But for Green Bay and I mean, Wisconsin, I think in general, and I mean, even bigger cities, Chicago, it's like if you were in 1983 and you were outside the norm, it was not very well received. Sometimes you would get into fights or, and it was really for, I would say, looks that weren't that extreme. You know, I mean, You know, you can always picture punks, like if you think England, you know, Mohawks and whatever. But I mean, in Green Bay, it was short hair and, you know, wearing a pair of Chuck Taylors and riding a skateboard.
Yeah. You looked like a bunch of Wisconsin kids to me.
Yeah, right. It wasn't really. Yeah, I remember I was skateboarding home from my high school and, you know, four kids pulled up in a car and started giving you grief. And it's like, OK, really? I mean, not really that extreme, but yeah, you really did come across that in high school. You know, people would say things or maybe spit on you. But eventually, you know, I mean, like you said, punk sort of became mainstream later on, and now it's just pretty widely accepted, I would say, overall. But I think in this day and age, people don't sort of realize that it, at the time it was happening, it was, you kind of had to really live with consequences, I guess. You know what I mean?
On a more positive note, something that struck me, of course, the heroes of the documentary are the, you know, the bands and the organizers and the fans and things like that. Lurking at the margins are older people, some of them who would say, yes, yes, you can practice in our basement, even though I don't know what this noise is that you're making. Or, yeah, I have a recording studio. I don't know what you kids are playing, but sure, I'll record you. Kind of inspiring as someone now in an older generation, like saying yes to the kids, even if you don't get what the heck they're doing.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. And one of the venues that we had in Green Bay that's in the latter part of the film is Kutzka's Hall. Yeah. Bob Kutzka, who ran Kutzka's Hall, bar side of the hall, or there was the bar, and then there was the dance hall. And the punk shows would be happening in the dance hall, but then like Bob and his regulars would be hanging out in the bar. And, you know, some of the older punk guys would go in there as well. But that was Bob's feeling on it was, you know, that these kids weren't really accepted elsewhere in the city. And, you know, we were trying to behave. We had these shows and they weren't as terrible as everybody would expect. And, you know, we had a lot of respect for Bob for, you know, having that openness and the willingness to have those shows there. And we had shows there for, I mean, like 4 or 5 years.
Chris, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's Chris Preti, co-creator of Green Blah, a new film about Green Bay's early punk scene in the 1970s into the 80s. You can see it at the Tarleton Theater. That's coming up on December 21st. This is more from the city's early punk rock scene. It's the band Depo Provera. The song is called Brainwash.